to Kenya in March of this year. We took a group of a real broad style of group this year, all the way from somebody who was 8 years old to the oldest person, and I won't say how old that person was, but she may tell you. But I'm not far behind. So, it was a great family style trip. Two families went with us. We also had four go with us from Oregon, and two young couples. And so that was fun. And Kathy, who's not here today, was with Jeff. And so that, and then also Angie Hembry. Where's Kathy? Where are you, Kathy? You just prefer to be there? Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we take that chair and make you sit on that chair right there? Well, Kathy, we're glad you're here as part of the team. So, and then Angie Hembry, who had to work today. And so, did I just, yeah. Do not do this because I just shamed you. Okay, now I feel like I owe you a hug. We just want you to be part of the family. Okay, all right. Anyway, they great trip, and they're going to take some time now to talk about some of the slides that you're going to see, or some of the PowerPoint you're going to see with those pictures, and hear directly from their heart. And some of it's going to be really short, and some of it will be a little bit longer, but just hear what God's doing in every word that's being spoken. And then at the end, we'll wrap it up and have communion together. All right, let's pray together. Father, we come in Jesus' name today. We come as part of Christ the King, the ruler of who our lives belong to. And Father, we are so thankful for that. And we come also as a group that's very different. Some have been believers for a long time, Lord. You know that. And others have, this is just brand new to them. So I pray, Lord, that even if this is not a quote-unquote message, that there's no less intensity to it. There's no less importance to it, Lord, but this is a time where we can hear you speak through others and the experience that they've had out into your world. May it speak to us. May we hear what we are supposed to hear that will motivate us to be part of Matthew 28, which says, go into all the world and teach the gospel. So, Lord, bless those who are speaking now, and may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go for it.
Praise the Lord. My name is Annika, and I feel that I was very, very blessed to be able to go on the trip to Kenya. My picture is of me and a girl named Susan, and I just like that picture because even though there's other people in the background and it's not a very detailed picture, I just really like it because when you go there, the people there, they don't, like, be like, oh, you're not pretty, you're not this. And they don't care what you look like. They don't care who you are. They just want to be your friends, and they want to be your part of your family. So it was really neat to be there, and I feel that I was really blessed and that I may have blessed some people too. And, yeah, so I just really loved how the relationships worked and how, yeah, you just were so... You were so easily friends with them, and they just loved you so much, and I just really liked that.
Praise the Lord. My name is Isaac, and we're in that picture. We're at the boys' home, and I stepped in some thorns on the way back to the deck, and Christina had to carry me back. And then I... they helped me. I didn't even ask them to help me. They just helped me get the thorns out of my socks.
Hi, my name's Elisha. And when I went to Kenya, I didn't make myself have any expectations. So I went just letting God show me what I was supposed to go for. When Greg told me I had to pick some pictures and talk to you guys about something that meant something to me, I was really nervous, and I didn't really know what to say. And then I prayed, and I went through the slides or well, the pictures, on my computer several times. And I'm like, what am I supposed to show? What am I supposed to show? Well, God gave me the word beautiful. This is easy to see beauty in it. I didn't think that Kenya would be green, but there were very, very green parts of Kenya. And that's beautiful. That's easy to see. What's not easy to see beauty in is the slums. The smell of the slums when you go in, the people, the garbage, everything around you, people just, it's not beautiful, you'd think. But when you talk to the people and you know where their heart is and you see the kids, that's the beauty. It's the beauty of the teachers that are sacrificing, even, I mean, they don't have anything and they're still going to teach these kids and give them an education because they want the kids to go somewhere and be something in their lives. The beauty in relationships of the little kids that just, they go to school, they have friends, and they have nothing else but the relationships. But that's beautiful. Beauty in teaching the kids songs, or rather, over there, they teaching us songs. This is Greg and Mary probably teaching a song to Angie, in Angie's accent, trying to teach the songs back to the kids, or repeat. So that was beautiful. This is a picture of Benny and Camila and Susan and Kevin and Diana. They all have letters in their hands, and the letters are from you guys, the people who sponsor them. And the beauty in this is that it means so much to them just to get a letter from you. Even if you're not sponsoring them, if you just send them a letter, that's beautiful. And this is Kevin. Kevin is beautiful just to look at him. But Kevin is the little boy who had a glare on his face to everyone that came near him and didn't really want to be involved, really, you'd think. But I did a couple things with him, and then he started laughing with me, and then he was starting to cling to me, and then in the end, right here, he's teaching me a song. So, beauty.
Praise the Lord. My name is Ezra. And the picture I chose to show you is a picture of my friend Mark. And I thought his name was Mac at first because of his wonderful Kenyan accent. But it was neat. I learned later that Mark was kind of a standoffish young man. He hadn't really connected with people before who had come to visit. But for whatever reason, when I got off the bus at Grace Children's Center in Longada, he was waiting for me, and he took my hand, and we were best friends right away, and he showed me all around where he goes to school, where he sleeps in his dorm, and where he goes to church, and we were buddies the whole time we were there. And I have to confess to you, it's hard for me to put into words what the trip meant to me. I can just tell you it was extremely impactful to me. And it was very deeply felt, and I just want to let Mark talk for a minute. He wrote letters. We all got lots of letters while we were there, and this is just some things that Mark wrote. So he said, Dear Ezra, how are you? I have no words to say how good you are because I just feel like you are an angel sent from heaven. Well, I have not much to say but to say I love you so much. I love you, from Mark. And he said, Dear Ezra, hi. How are you? I hope you are fine and having lots of fun in Kenya. I love you so much. Thank you for being my friend. My favorite color is red. I like red because it matches with the blood of Jesus. I will always pray for you and your family. You're such a good friend. I've never seen someone as kind like. I will always love you like my own father. As for me, I would love you to take me as your son. I will pray for you so that you will be prayed for. And that was from Mark, and I think that speaks for itself.
Praise the Lord. My name's Brooklyn, and these are some kids in Gombe that are working, and they're happy to work, and they're just really happy, and when we are here in America and our parents ask us to do stuff, we have a fit. And so I was thinking that these kids are really happy because they probably get to work And it's just probably fun for them to carry stuff and helping. And when you're there, they ask to do a lot of stuff for you. So, yeah.
Hi, I'm Bobby. And I didn't get too much into this picture, the other services, but so basically after I got back from this trip, I was kind of down, and I went up to the train tracks over there, if anyone knows where those are, and I just kind of sat on there and kind of had the same view as him, just looked over where I live in my city, and I feel like I saw the same thing he was looking at. I felt like, I just wondered if he thought any different than I did. Like, there are people that live better than me and worse than me, but I don't know. I'm blabbing. I like this picture. I do like this picture. yeah. Africa was kind of, it was life changing. It was, made my life completely different, and just to see what he's looking at and how that compares to what I have and what I don't appreciate just changes me.
I'm Tyler. This is Bobby and I spending some quality time with some kids in Legata getting our hair ripped out while they were trying to put weave an extension into it. That worked on Bobby, but it just made me bleed. That little girl there, leaning against me, that's Mary. And we pray for her every night, and Brooklyn prays that we can go back and adopt her. I'm thinking smuggler out of the country. So this is the heart and soul of the trip, these kids, and getting to spend time with them. People ask me when we get back, well, what'd you guys do? We spent time with these kids. Well, did you build anything? Just relationships. We didn't do anything. We didn't go there to work or do anything. That just takes jobs from Kenyans. But the time spent with these kids, I know how much it means to me, and I know how much it means to them too, because we went last year, and when we went this year, the first thing the kids said was, do you remember me? Do you remember my name? Because they remembered us. And they all have this inner desire to be wanted and to be known and to know that somebody cares about them. And I know how much it meant to me to go back to see these kids. And I realized after being there how much it meant to them. And the relationships built will never go away. And there'll always be that connection. And we're going to go back someday. Hopefully a lot. And for people thinking that it's impossible, it was impossible for us twice. Both times, it was not possible. The first time, it was just my wife and I. And I laughed when I heard the number. I was like, there's no way. But it happened. And then last year was twice as expensive. And we could have put a down payment on a house the last 2 years. But God provided. And not 1 cent came from any of my paychecks. So I would encourage everybody to do it.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm Christina. So this picture here, there's a lot of stuff going on, and way in the back there where there's that little covered area, there's the feeding station going on there. And when I was looking back at this picture, I was thinking about how I saw so many of God's servants and just the work that was being done over there. And so I just want to share. So I saw faith in action. And James 2:22, it says, you see that their faith and their actions were working together, and their faith was made complete by what they did. I saw servants preparing a feast for visitors who came to visit. I saw hundreds of orphans and children that were being fed. And the people they were being fed by were people who weren't, they didn't have family relation to them. It was all relation by the blood of Christ. I saw widows being cared for by each other. I saw men who preached and proclaimed God's word day and night. I saw people traveling a far distance by foot just to go to a dirt floor, little square area where it must have been about 90 degrees, all to hear a message and worship with other believers. I saw the orphan babies and children being fed and comforted, all giving glory to God. And they seemed so pleased to serve. And this was not just serving for a day or two, but this was their actual lifestyle.
Excuse me. Hi, I'm Penny. When I was first asked to go on this trip, it was because of the dedication, and I really did not want to go. And I talked to the kids, and they were all in agreement. And I actually kind of used the kids as an excuse, thinking maybe one of them might say, no, don't go. And instead, they encouraged me. And I didn't want to go because I figured it would be too hard. So I was definitely thinking of just me. And I couldn't really get a whole lot of excitement until just shortly before we left. And then I really started getting excitement. But I think it was more because I've traveled a lot. And I like to travel. So I went to Kenya with absolutely no expectations at all. None. And when I got there, I found that I had a whole lot of sleepless nights. I just could not sleep over there. So God and I spent a lot of time alone together at night in prayer. And God has done an amazing, amazing work in my life just since this trip, on this trip and since. The dedication was without a doubt the hardest thing I've ever done. But with the help of all these people, I got through it. And to think that there is a legacy half a world away that these kids can use, and it was amazing. These kids were so incredible. Part of my heart is still there. These kids are so in love with the Lord. They sing to him. They praise his name. They talk about him all the time. A little girl sneezed, and working in the schools, I've dropped the word God, and I just say, bless you. And I looked at her, and I said, well, bless you. And another little boy looks at me, and he goes, oh, Penny, you cannot bless her. Only God can bless her. And it was like, whoa. But these kids were amazing, and the notes that they hand you are unbelievable. They tell you of their love for you and how they're praying for you and how much you mean to them and how much they wish you safety and Godspeed. And it was just amazing. And I know God has a sense of humor because I took on support for a little guy named Obama. And I never, ever, ever thought I'd be an Obama supporter, but I definitely am now. But this trip, God spoke to me in so many different ways. And I know that my life as it was is over. I can never get it back. But I also know that he has good things in store. And in the last 13 months, he's done so much. A lot of it through this church, these people, you. And I'm just very, very thankful. And I am so glad I went. And I'd be kicking myself if I didn't go. So I'm very thankful, and I thank all of you who helped me go.
You know, when you see a void, you just have to fill it. That humility has to start somewhere. And And we were observing Columbus Day on this trip, and I just kind of took the lead. No, that's not true. Anyway, I actually chose a different picture than that. I chose this picture because this is at the Reuben Slum in Nairobi. And this picture tells a lot of things to me, and I'll share some with you. You'll notice that Kathy's in this picture and serving in the food line for the porridge project at this school. And Kathy went to Nairobi and with CMIA in 2005. And at that point, we had seen Greg and Jean successfully lead some teams for a few years anyway. And so when Kathy went, I had a complete expectation that she would come home and she would tell me how God brought to her a child that really needed support and needed financial support for medications and for education and for food and things like that. And so that was my expectation when she came home. And those things are really good things. There are still ongoing needs in all these locations. These kids do need that kind of support, and it's a powerful, powerful thing to do. But for some reason, God was calling a different direction, and Kathy came home and told me they were starting this feeding project in the Reuben Slum School. And in this school, the story that she came home with and told me was that there's 200, 250 kids coming to school, and there's physical signs of malnutrition in these children. They had changes physically in their bodies because of poor nutrition, and they couldn't come to school and attend. They just had an empty stomach, and they just weren't progressing in their education, and that a group of people through CMIA had chosen to start a feeding project, and that the team that came back had organized around the startup costs for that, and she felt that God was calling us to participate ongoing to help with providing food each day. And so that's what we did. And in 2007, I got to go, and this time Kathy had to stay home. And by that time, we had seen pictures of kids that had smiling faces and bright bowls of porridge, and I'd heard stories about how it was making a difference. And being on the ground there in 2007, I couldn't speak. I was just brought to tears seeing that. So this is 7 years later, and Kathy and I finally did get to go together and see this and participate. In this picture, you see Ezra and Annika and Angie and Kathy and Laura in back serving. These kids are just impacted powerfully by this. And in the tan dress suit there is Ruth. And Ruth is the principal on site there. I saw her in 2007. I don't know how many years she's dedicated to making a major difference. But, you know, we send resources, and somebody has to organize and put those resources together and have a powerful desire to fulfill, to see the vision fulfilled. And she's a powerful person there. So to see her there again was very impactful as well. But because I'm a guy and I like black and white and I like numbers and results and that, what really impacted me, what really surprised me even, was that this school project, when Kathy came home and told me about it, couldn't keep kids in their seats, on their stools, on their benches for class. And now in 2012, they reported that 70% of these kids actually passed their entrance exams for high school. And that's a difference.
I want to start by giving an update on the Gombe project. Those who went last year in 2012, when we came back, there was a piece of property with a barbed wire fence, a church that needed some help, and a well. And that's a good place to start. They start every location with a church and fresh water. But the slide that I want to show is of the kids this year, the 34 kids that were squatters in an abandoned school sleeping on, I guess you could call them, mattresses on the floor. Wasn't much of a mattress with a chicken on the top. Now have a beautiful home. And in just 1 year, I want you to see the progress. This is the kids in front of their outdoor eating area. Everything is just so beautiful. They have the administration building and new dorms, and the church itself is finished, both outside, inside. Not only do they meet there on Sundays, but they have pre-primary school that meets every day of the week, along with a literacy program for over 70 students that are learning to read. And with the help of Penny and a few other people, we were able to provide many, many Luo Bibles so that they have Bibles to be reading in their literacy program. That's the view from the property, and you can't really see it, but you can. Lake Victoria is in the background. This area is an area that's been really decimated by AIDS. There are a lot of orphans. There are a lot of boys named Barack and Obama, and there are a lot of girls named Michelle because it is the area where Barack Obama's relatives live. And just as one of the dorms, and coming from squatting in an abandoned school where there is danger, to have the safety there, and it is so beautiful. The kids are so proud of it, taking such good care of it. I mean, look at that. It's just amazing from the one that we saw just a year ago. So it was really fun, and they were so excited to show off their new home. They have a boys' dorm and a girls' dorm. Nice outside seating areas for both to read a book. Everybody needs to read a book. But it's so cheerful and wonderful. An admin building. There's a guard there who happens to be Obama's grandfather that's the security guard. And Kenya's a uniform society. Obama that Penny is wants to sponsor. Yeah, yeah. But everybody there is his uncle, our Obama's uncle. But he was so cute and he was so proud showing us the job, showing how at night he could look down and see on Lake Victoria the lights of the fishing boats going towards Uganda. And he was so awesome. But he told Penny and I, he said, if I only had a uniform, I would be so smart. And we're like, okay, how much change do you have in your pocket, Penny? And so between a few of us, we were able to provide a uniform, and they were going to surprise him with that after we left. So that would be really cool. But this is David and Jennifer Hatley. They're the founders and the directors of the ministry that have been there for almost 30 years now. This is an excellent picture of them. And if you ever speak with them, you can tell them the picture that was chosen of their backsides there. But and a little cabana so that when you come to visit on a trip coming up in the future, you can sit in there and have a nice cold soda. Outside seating area for the kids. Food always tastes better when you eat it outside. Kids performing at the dedication. The dedication of the property was amazing. It was so providential that our group got to be there at that time because the village elders and chief and the child welfare society people and people from the community, people from the church, they all came for the dedication. And then for Penny to be able to be there too when part of the legacy of Dan's memorial went to property development here was absolutely amazing. It was such a special day. It was great. There's Penny with Mary, and there are several of you in this congregation that helped provide surgery for Mary. She's the little girl that had the skull missing on top that they were worried she'd get hit in the head because that could prove to be fatal. But they had taken her to a witch doctor and burned her skull trying to heal it, and of course that would never work. So she was, with the help, financial support from people from this church and some others, she was taken to Nairobi to live for a while, and they've done two surgeries. Her head is healing beautifully, and she is the most happy, joyful, beautiful child. But that's two of the most beautiful women I know there, little Mary and Penny. And here's Greg praying for the dedication. And next slide is Greg still praying for the dedication. And the next slide is children rejoicing because Greg's done praying. So that was a really fun part that I wanted you to hear about and just to get an update. I want to thank you so much for all the people that ate peanut butter and jelly after church for months to raise money for the garage sales, for all the things that were done to be able to raise money for this project. It's pretty much completed. It looks beautiful. And those of you who've been before need to go back and check it out because it's awesome. Well, the team left a week before Greg and I did, and we were able to go to a location, which I can't say. Penny, you were born and raised in Kenya. How do you say Olorofel? Olorofel? It's in Moss Island. Rose, help? No? Don't know? Okay. We went to this place. It starts with an O. And we found another pre-primary school. This is in a different area. This is in Moss Island. Okay. So we found a pre-primary school that's meeting in a church on the Rock Church, one of the churches that David and Jennifer have established. And there are 25 kids right now there in the pre-primary school. Well, we found out that some of the families live 7 kilometers away. And so that's 4.2 miles that some of these 3 to 5-year-old children walk every morning to get to school. They spend their day in school, and they walk their 4.2 miles, 7 kilometers, to get back home again and without food. So one thing that we're hoping to do is Julianne every year has helped us with a CMIA garage sale, and this year we talked about doing that with the goal of getting the startup costs for a Jiko or a cook stove and bowls and stuff to start a feeding program and the first few months worth of support for that so they can get it going before the teams for summer get there so they can see and maybe pick up that vision of providing monthly. But 3 to 5 year old children go to pre-primary school to be able to take the test to get into first grade. So it's very important if they're going to get an education that they get to go to pre-primary school. So anyway, right now with your pencil, June 21st, June 22nd, Friday, Saturday garage sale. We're going to need lots of stuff. Do your spring cleaning, set it aside, talk to Julianne after church today and sign up to either help or see what you can do to make that a success. Okay, the other thing that I needed to talk about, what am I doing on time? Okay. Some people are concerned that, well, they would love to go, but they, like Penny or some of us, go, well, what can I really do to make a difference? Well, there's an African proverb that says, if you doubt that one little person can do something, spend the night in a closed room with a mosquito. There are so many things that you can do. And like as Bobby said, you know, the gift of your presence is absolutely amazing. So we are planning a 2014 trip, and Lori Heineman, right here in green, has a little clipboard. And if you think you might be interested in going to an introductory meeting just to find out about it, we'll be doing that on June 2nd. So that. There is one thing that I would like to read, because a lot of us have trouble expressing just what a trip like this means to us. Greg has had us all read The Hole in the Gospel, The Hole in Our Gospel, and Radical by David Platt over the last few years. And both of these authors talk a lot about how important it is to get out of context, to get out of our everyday life, to see what God's doing. And how if you spend 2% of your time out of context, serving and just listening to God, that's going to affect the other 98% of your life. And we've seen that over and over again with people who get over their fear of people with AIDS and come home and work at Bailey Boucher downtown Seattle, or realize that there are people that are starving and come home and say, Gordy, I really need to be working on the street feed and be more aware of the needs. You know, a lot of us introduce ourselves with, hi, my name is Jean, praise the Lord, this morning. A lot of us just have been inspired to be more bold at stating our position in Christ when we meet people and putting ourselves more out there. There's so many ways that it impacts you. And I think that one of the coolest things to me is watching some of the most amazing people I know go and have their lives altered. It's not so much our being a blessing, but them, you know, blessing us and God just changing our perspective. So I want to read this one thing to close. It's written by somebody, I think it's one of the founders from the Mocha Club, where they sell coffee in order to raise funds for Africa. But it's older, and you've probably heard it before, but it's eloquent, and I'm not. So it's called, I Need Africa More Than Africa Needs Me. It says, when I think of Africa, the following images immediately come to mind. Starvation, AIDS, child soldiers, genocide, sex slaves, orphans. From there, my thoughts naturally turn to how I can help, how I can make a difference. I'm needed here, I think. They have so little and I have so much. It's true. There are great tragedies playing out in Africa every day. There's often a level of suffering here that's unimaginable until you've seen it. And even then, it's difficult to believe. But what is even harder is reconciling the challenges that many Africans face with the joy I see in those same people. It's a joy that comes from somewhere I cannot fathom, not within the framework that's been my life to this day. The images spilling out on my television show circumstances that could seemingly only equal misery, and I was fooled. I bought into the lie that circumstance defines happiness. The truth is, in Africa, I find hearts full of victory, indomitable spirits, in places where despair should thrive. Instead, I find adults dancing and singing and children playing soccer with a ball crafted of tied up trash. Instead of a paycheck, I find grace. Instead of payback, I find grace. Here, weekend getaways are not options to provide relief from the pains of daily life. Relationships and faith provide joy. Love is sovereign. My new reality, I know now that my joy should have no regard for my circumstances. I'm ashamed by my lack of faith, but at the very same moment, I'm excited by my new pursuit. I'm forced to redefine the meaning of having much or having little. I'm uneasy with the prospect of change and letting go, but just the thought of freedom is liberating. I want what I've learned to trickle down from my head into my heart. I no longer want to need the next thing to have joy. I'm not saying that Africa doesn't need our efforts. It absolutely does need our partnership. But for me, I've come to understand that I need Africa more than Africa needs me. Why? Because it is Africa that has taught me that possessions in my hand will never be as valuable as peace in my heart. I've learned that I don't need what I have, and I have what I need. These are just a few of this continent's many lessons. I came here to serve, and yet I found that I have so much to learn. And Africa, with all its need, has so much to teach me.
I'm going to have the team go ahead and move the stools. And we're going to go into a time of communion. And I've asked Ezra to bring, lead us into that as the worship team also gets ready.
So I'm going to share a brief devotion with you. It's kind of a devotion about devotions. Bear with me here. It's going to speak mostly to parents, but I think there's something in here for everybody in our church family. During our nearly 3 weeks in Kenya, the 2013 team, we took part in a nightly ritual of devotions, and this was kind of a family exercise for us. We were a family for a time, and in that we would share with one another in the wisdom we had learned during the day, the speaking of God's Spirit to us, prayer, and the Word of God, of course. It would be difficult to overemphasize to you how important this time was for us. Meaningful reflection is sorely absent in the patterns of our modern lives. I think Bobby talked a little bit about that need to reflect. More seriously, I think it's absent from the patterns of the families that we live in day to day in our homes. So I'd like to share this devotion with you, my church family, to exhort and encourage you to continue to share these devotional times with your families. I often heard in Kenya the phrase, the children are our future. And that's a pleasant and high-sounding phrase I think we've all heard a lot, repeated not just there, but in our culture in many contexts. And I fear that the reality of it is lost sometimes because it's kind of cliche. So let me say it again, the children are our future. That's a very literal statement. If the Lord tarries, the reality of it is an absolute certainty, both in Kenya and here at home. For all the things that you or I may do on this earth, the time is soon coming when you and I will be dead and gone. All that will remain is what we have invested in the next generation. We hear a lamentation in our day. It's so often repeated, especially in traditional and conservative circles. We'll hear a longing for a lost Christian nation that we have. I would say, please hear me when I say that the loss of a Christian nation comes from only one thing. That would come from a loss of Christians. Proverbs 22:6 says, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's easy for us all to nod our heads at that. But in so many tragic cases, we watch our children kind of be left on a conveyor belt. And they get fed into the spirit of this age, into a secular culture, into attitudes and beliefs that are as different from godliness as night is from day. At this very moment, the mouth of hell is open, and it's unleashed, eager to pull the next generation down. Now, we can write that off as overdramatic, but I would hope we would search the scriptures and see that this is true. Now, fortunately, God has not left us powerless in this world to face down that problem. Indeed, in us, his church and the believers, we have the power of Jesus at hand. It's in the heart of every born-again Christian. So let me share with you one way today in which I believe you can use that power to affect the next generation in your home, which is your children. I think you've all figured out what that one way is. Speaking to Peter, after his confession of faith, Christ says of his church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And how true that is, and how dire the need that none of us would despair at our children going down that dark and crooked path. There's still work to be done while it's day. So whether it's apathy or doubt, or whether there's bitterness or fear holding you back, I ask everyone here to be bold and dedicated to share times of devotion with your families. I can't say what form that's going to take, but if you'll take the effort and the time to invest in teaching your children of our precious Lord, of praying with them, of debriefing them on the ups and downs of the day, hearing their questions that will inevitably rise up in their spirits, the results of this will reach into eternity. Now, if instead we believe that there's a more worthy use of our time, to tell me now, and we can all go back to our sports, our jobs, our amusements, our projects. Now, after a stinging rebuke to the church in Laodicea, who called themselves rich and in need of nothing, but whom Jesus called wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, listen to how Jesus counsels them. He says, "Buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And finally, listen to his promise as he concludes. Now, this statement we hear a lot as an evangelistic statement, but I think this is really a message to the church. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." So today and every day, church, I encourage you to set your family around you and leave the highest chair open for Jesus Christ. He's knocking at your door, and he is very worthy of our devotion.